2 Timothy chapter 4 in your Bibles. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy is one of my favorite books in the Bible. Paul and part of his humanness will come out tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 4, let's begin reading in verse 9. He's talking to this young man. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. These are the last written words of Paul, and I think he knew it. Paul has come to the end of his life, but it had come with persecution and pain and loneliness. Here are some of the ingredients to the loneliness in that which we read. First of all, his location. It's not a pastor's study on a mountaintop with the luxuries of life. He's not in a camel caravan going to his next missionary journey or on a boat. It was written from the Mamertine prison. It is dismal. It is dark. It is damp there. Not exactly the place from which you want to write your memoirs. Second of all, his relationship to others. Paul was used to being with groups of people. He was the consummate people person. The only ones that are there now are the guards and Luke. Let's go back to verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Only Luke. And thank goodness, Luke was a doctor and could minister to him. and then the time of year. It would be the late fall. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. It's getting cold. The sun seldom shines now. And in verse 21, he says, "Do thy diligence to come before winter." And then the future. Not only was winter near, death was near. No matter how much he looked forward to going to heaven, it would have been difficult to look forward to dying. Look what he says in verse 6. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." It's like he hears the sword, the axe being sharpened. He said, "The time of my departure is now." And then he was able to say this, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And all of that is in past tense. He said, "I have already fought the good fight." That good fight in the original language is the word jihad. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I've been faithful to finishing my course. It ought to be a matter of concern to every one of us here tonight that we finish our course that God has given to us. And then he says, "I've kept the faith." That faith that was once delivered unto us, I've kept it. I've preached it. I've lived by it. I've kept the faith. And then his thoughts. He had lots of time to think, and bittersweet memories swelled his heart and touched his soul. Look at verse 16 and 17. "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Second of all, Paul's requests or remedies for loneliness. Paul had good reason to be lonely, but he did not isolate himself and have a private pity party. Instead, he wrote an invitation for assistance, requesting four things to ease his bitter circumstances. First of all, he asked for companionship. Once again, verse 9. He tells this young man, Timothy, "Get here as quickly as you can. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. I want to see you. I miss you." And then in verse 11, "Only Luke is with me, but pick up Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." He's not looking for just any companionship. He wanted Timothy and he wanted Mark. Paul did not issue a come one, come all invitation. When you're really, really lonely, you don't want a crowd of strangers. Only your closest friends will do. And then he talked about some bodily comfort. He asked for his cloak. Verse 13. the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, Timothy, bring with thee. Paul wasn't so spiritual that he didn't feel the cold. He wasn't so eager to die that he gave up trying to take care of himself. He was human enough that he wanted his favorite and warmest garment. Here's what Charles Ryrie said about the cloak. Look at that cloak for a moment. It was a traveling cloak with long sleeves. Perhaps Paul had woven it himself, and it may have been over its sleeves that other cloaks had been draped when Stephen was martyred. It had a rich history in the service of Christ. It had been wet with the brine of the Aegean Sea, yellow with the dust of the Ignatian Way, white with the snows of Galatia and Pamphylia, and crimson with the blood of his own wounds. And now it was to serve its last purpose and keep an old man warm during a cold winter. And I tell you what, that just so speaks to my heart, considering the Apostle Paul. I'm cold. Bring me my coat. And then reading material, in the middle of verse 13, he talks about the books. Those are works other than Scripture. He is not planning any evangelistic tours or church services. He just loved to read and learn. Being surrounded by his books would be like being surrounded by good friends. Ed and I were talking this morning, and there's a thing in the South. If you're not from the South, you've never heard this. But it is this. It's a sin to kill a mockingbird. And of course you've heard To Kill a Mockingbird, that book. But the saying is taken from the South. It's a sin to kill a mockingbird. Well, let me tell you something. Outside of the Word of God and Shakespeare, I love the book To Kill a Mockingbird. It's a great book. If you've not read it, you should read it. It's good. And then he talks about, of course, the Scriptures. At the last part of verse 13, but especially the parchments. His old copies of the Word of God. Dog-eared pages, notes in the margin, circled words, torn covers, tear stains on the parchments. He wanted his old familiar copy of the Word of God so that he could read it. Third, Paul's example. Nobody escapes the isolating pain of loneliness. For the non-Christian, there is no defense. You can surround yourself with friends, immerse yourself in activity, but that soul-deep loneliness is still there. For the Christian, that kind of loneliness has come to an end. But there are still times when you feel so alone. Paul's example is good for us today. First of all, seek out some close friends. Don't let yourself drown in a sea of despair. It takes being vulnerable to let people know. It takes courage to ask for help, for people to come and minister to you. Oftentimes it takes an invitation. Could you come over? Second of all, take care of your physical needs. Loneliness drains energy from our bodies. It deadens our brain with the morphine of apathy. We slip into neglect, letting ourselves go. And perhaps you have someone in your family, some older person in your family, that they don't even want to take a bath anymore. That they just let themselves go. They don't eat right. You've got to fight that inertia. Take a bath. Get all dressed up. Call a friend. Eat something really, really good. Whatever that is to you. Third, read challenging books. Expand your mind. Read To Kill a Mockingbird. Read Shakespeare. Let me tell you something. I got a call this afternoon from a kid I graduated with from high school in Lancaster 53 years ago. He called and just wanted to talk. I haven't talked to him for 53 years. And he called this afternoon. And I had just woken up from my nap, and Tina said, "Chris Spiker's on the line." "My Chris Spiker?" "Yeah." And so we talked, and we just talked about people that we went to school with. One of the kids we went to school with, his name is Jim Slayton. He pitched in the big leagues for 18 years. He pitched in the World Series. He won a game in the World Series. He lives up at Cave Creek. But we just talked after all of this time. You need someone that will help you. And then last of all, of course, get into the Word of God on a regular basis. Billy Graham has some great things to say about being in the Word every day. And he is so right. And he lived that. And he died that. I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 8. If you haven't fallen in love with Romans chapter 8, you should. It is a great chapter on eternal security. But the last two verses in Romans chapter 8 are great verses. I want you to listen to this. Paul said, "For I am persuaded, absolutely persuaded, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And ladies and gentlemen, that is eternal security. Paul, thank you. Thank you for your writings. Thank you for speaking to our hearts through the years. Thank you for writing to Timothy, writing the book of Romans. Let's pray. Father, thank you. For your Son, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the wonderful words of life. When we open up your word, it speaks to our heart. We are so thankful that one of the commitments of this church is to the Word of God, being the very words of God from His heart to our heart. And we are thankful for that. Father, we're thankful for salvation. We're thankful for that sweet story that was delivered to us. and we responded to it, and our life has never been the same. Father, thank you. As we look forward to tomorrow and to next week and to whatever you have for us, help us to stay strong and help us to stay in your word. And Father, thank you for the dear people that you bring into our life to help us. Thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.